Audible's romance collection has something to satisfy every side of you. When it comes to what kind of romance you're into, you don't have to choose just one. Fancy a dalliance with a duke or maybe a steamy billionaire. You could find a book boyfriend in the city and another one tearing it up on the hockey field. And if nothing on this earth satisfies, you can always find love in another realm. Discover modern rom-coms from authors like Lily Chu and Allie Hazelwood, the latest romantasy series from Sarah J. Maas and Rebecca Yarros, plus Regency favorites like Bridgerton and Outlander, and of course, all the really steamy stuff. Your first great love story is free when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at audible.com/wondery. That's audible.com/wondery.
Mm-hmm. I am Daniel Lucas, and welcome to Abstract Essay, where ideas take shape, thoughts find depth, and every conversation explores the art of thinking beyond the obvious. And today I have my special guest. She's a future self-coach, no other than Ms. Lisa Sharp.
Hello, welcome, or thanks for having me, welcoming myself.
Yes, welcome, Miss Alisa. And can you please introduce more about yourself that I miss?
Yeah, I am a future self coach for life and business, and I really believe about building your business around the life that you want to have by connecting with that future self vision and going from there.
Miss Alisa Sharp, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and wisdom to the world. And today let's talk about identity and future self shift. Why your mindset and identity are the number one factors in leaving corporate and launching your business. Miss Alisa, tell us. Most people focus on the external barriers to living corporate. You argue that the number one barrier is internal. What is the fundamental identity conflict that keeps a corporate employee stuck?
Yeah, it's really easy to get stuck on finding the right strategy, or I need the right checklist and the right things that I have to do practically. But what really holds people back is fundamentally, they really don't believe it's actually going to work out for them. Because we've been taught that to be successful is to have the right job title, the right salary, even work in the right kind of companies. I remember I really wanted to work in a company that was certified Great Place to Work, and I knew that I've made it, right? But what happens is then when you try to step out of that, it's outside of your comfort zone and your brain, your subconscious is telling you this is wrong. We're doing the wrong things. We need to go back to what we were doing before, even though we were suffering, we were burned out, we were overworked, or we just didn't really care about the work. So if you don't work on upgrading your beliefs about yourself, about what's possible in the world, what you yourself are possible in doing, you will constantly self-sabotage yourself, no matter how good your process is or strategy or offer is.
Ms. Alisa, beyond financial handcuff, how does identity of being a manager or a good employee actually prevent someone from becoming a founder?
Yeah, I will say I was in that mindset myself. I was always a number one employee. I was promoted quickly everywhere I ever worked. And I always had this mindset of, well, I'm always going to be the number two. I'm the person who figures it out for the dreamy entrepreneur or the creative people. And so as someone who is very process oriented myself, I always thought, well, I'll never be creative enough to do the entrepreneur thing, or that's just not me. And so I stayed in my lane for so long until I just decided I am creative and I can have ideas and I can bring something else to the world that other people are not. I don't have to just stay as a support person just because I'm naturally good at that.
Naturally good, for sure. Is it possible that the very competence that made someone successful in corporate creates a new form of imposter syndrome when they think about starting over, a novice entrepreneur?
Yeah, of course. Because you are going against everything that you did before. Like, as a corporate employee, you always have that next level that you get to. You know exactly what you need to do. You get feedback from your manager. And then as you move into entrepreneurship, you are your own manager and you have to give yourself the feedback or get it from other sources. Most people may not actually go out there and do that. And so they're kind of out there floating alone, trying to figure it out. So I see a lot of people who just feel alone in entrepreneurship because they haven't found their community that can give them that feedback and help them keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward, for sure. And Ms. Alyssa, let's talk about the shift from employee to founder. How does someone actually begin to try the identity of their future self before they have the business cards or the revenue to prove it?
Yeah, that is a great question because honestly, having a business card, a business name, revenue, you don't need all of that to bring on that identity. All you need is to have a very clear vision. And if you know that you have something that you want to offer or you want to help people do a certain thing, like for coaching, I'm always helping people discover what are people coming to help, have them help with, right? Making an offer out of that and knowing that you have impact on the world, on people, stepping into what that would actually look like if you were able to make a business doing something you love, helping people, and just imagine that for a minute. What would you be doing? You know, where would you be? How would you feel if you had paying customers, people loved you, you were doing what you love? All you have to do is really visualize that and feel what that would feel like in your body and know that that's possible for you and start making decisions from that mindset, because now you're making the decisions from someone who is there, they're grounded, they're proud, they're centered, and they know it's possible for them. So you start making better decisions that move you forward. And maybe that decision is, hey, I am going to make a business card, or I am going to make an offer to someone. Where if you're waiting to feel, if you never do the visualization and just waiting, you might never make any move towards actually becoming a business owner or putting an offer out there.
Ms. Alyssa, how does the language we use about ourselves, I'm an entrepreneur versus I want to be an entrepreneur, rewire our brain for action?
Yeah, that is a really good question too. So the way that we talk to ourselves is how we're going to continue to present ourselves in reality, and reality will bend towards that. And so if you start to embody your identity as an entrepreneur by saying, hey, I am an entrepreneur, you know, you might not have the revenue or the clients yet, but you are now acting and making decisions as an entrepreneur because you embody that identity now. You like you go out into the world and you kind of have that vibe about you, and some people can feel the difference in your energy. The caveat, I think, sometimes with affirmations that we can run into is if you feel like you're just lying to yourself, if you're just like, I am an entrepreneur, but really in you kind of feel a little bit icky, or you feel a little bit like sticky, there's still something, that means there's still something in you that really doesn't believe that it's going to work out for you. And that's a point where you need to be aware, like, hey, I'm trying to say I am this new identity, but there's something that I'm still stuck on. And that's where you can journal and figure out what is blocking you from believing that you can actually do it. That's where sometimes coaching can come in. You can have a conversation with someone and it might clear up, like, oh, I just don't believe it because someone in my life 10 years ago said I was bad at coming up with ideas, you know, and then you can get rid of that idea and replace it with a more positive belief. So saying the affirmation is good, but also notice in your body if you are disbelieving it, because your body is always what is going to happen, is what you really truly believe, the feelings in your body.
I am an successful entrepreneur. That will be your mindset, people, so that you will be successful indeed. Mindset, for sure. Climbing the corporate ladder is a clear path. How does someone learn to be comfortable building their own ladder where the rungs are invisible at first?
There is unfortunately no way to be comfortable other than to start to be uncomfortable with the idea of not knowing, uncomfortable with the idea of being uncomfortable, and knowing that you are going to be outside of your comfort zone for a very long time. But coming back and knowing that you, remembering every day, celebrating even the smallest wins, helps you keep yourself on solid ground and keeps your resilience going so you can continue to grab towards that next invisible rung. And again, always asking for feedback. You can join different communities of entrepreneurs, Facebook groups. You can ask people directly. I do that sometimes. I'll just reach out to people who follow me and who have interacted and be like, hey, how is this post landing? Should I say something better? Don't be afraid to just ask people for feedback. It's not rejection. It's if you get bad feedback or if they're just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It's just a redirection for you. And that's the only way you can get direction when you're out there as an entrepreneur, is just to ask.
Ask people and you will be given. I think that's a good analogy for that. What is the simple? Oh, what's one simple, actionable practice someone can trust today to begin strengthening their founder identity muscle?
Yeah, I think a daily practice that helps me is I actually have a vision kind of document where I've written a pretty detailed version of me, like of 2 years in advance. This is who I am. This is how I show up in the world. This is what I've achieved. And just keeping that clear vision daily and remembering that this is the version of me that I'm making decisions from. And just reminding yourself daily, like, to embody that version of you and let go of the current or past version of you, because you are now moving towards a bigger and better vision. And I've noticed that as I've done it now for almost a year, my vision has expanded because I see other people doing amazing things. I realize I do amazing things, and I continuously write bigger and larger goals and visualizations for myself. So start where you can and just continue to read it every morning or in the evening before you go to sleep, and just remind yourself, what is your actual future vision?
Ms. Alisa, tell us, how can aspiring entrepreneurs collect a proof of their new identity through small lorries actions before they ever give their notice?
Yeah, celebrating small wins is something that's really important. So even if you have just one follower on Instagram and you are posting something, you know that you're impacting that one person. Or if you put on an event and only a few people show up, you're still impacting those three people. And I would just encourage you to show up as if you are talking to 10,000 people every single day, no matter how many followers or how many people are at your event. Because as you continue to impact small numbers of people, that creates a ripple effect, and they share your message, it eventually snowballs. But also, outside of just what you're sharing, just celebrate yourself for even making hard decisions. Entrepreneurs, you have to decide, you have to say no to things sometimes. And if you are able to step into your future self and say no to certain opportunities or start to remove yourself from relationships or experiences that are detracting from your vision, those are things to celebrate as well. They might not be visually seen by other people on the outside, but you know that you are starting to make changes in your life that are impacting how you're going to be in the future. And those are things that will continuously to reinforce your identity, the identity that you want to have. And it'll start to snowball and you'll start to see things everywhere.
Ms. Alisa, how important is it to change your peer group during this transition? And how can someone find people who will see them as the entrepreneur they are becoming?
Yeah, it is actually really important to update your peer group, because the people that you hang around with are affecting your attitudes, your beliefs, like your vibes, more than you really know until you start to change who you're hanging out with. So if you're with people who don't believe in you or are just like, good luck, you know, you internalize that and you are silently saying those things to yourself in the back of your head. If you find groups of people who believe in you and they just are solid, then you start to be like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do this. And if you find yourself in groups of people who are way more successful than you, that will expand your vision. And I've been part of an entrepreneur group of people who make like 100K a month or more. And that is so far from what I'm doing right now, but I know now that it's possible. So that is in my vision. And those people who are successful are never going to judge someone who is just starting, because they know you have to start somewhere and they will only pull you forward. So it is super important to start to surround yourself with people who are further along on the path than you and people who truly believe in the dream that you're trying to achieve.
Ms. Alisa, I want that 100,000 a month. Imagine.
Me too.
Both of us, we want that 100,000 a month. Oh my goodness. So how do you maintain your new identity well? Or when well-meaning people in your life still see you as a corporate person and question you risky life choices?
Yes, I love to talk about this, because a lot of people will talk about identity upgrades and mindset as, you know, reprogramming the software of our brains, which is true. You can you know, have a metaphor between how our brains work and how software works. But the difference is, it would be nice if it was like software where you could just download Mindset 2.0 and be done with it. But it's not. It is a practice very much like going to the gym. If you are someone who went to the gym and you lost a ton of weight and now you are super fit, it's not that you suddenly stop going to the gym. Like, you have to then maintain it. So one, the big hurdle of just updating your programming and getting rid of like all of our limiting beliefs and things that are holding us back, replacing it with that new identity of planning from possibilities and excitement and vision. You have to maintain that, because we have been programmed our whole life to talk negative about ourselves, to think the worst is going to happen, to, you know, be as risk averse as possible. So it really is kind of that daily practice of reviewing your vision. I have a daily meditation practice to help just settle all the thoughts that come in my brain. Like, we're on social media, and no matter what, no matter how little time you try to spend on there, you are getting so many signals and messages that you just need space for your brain to drop all of the things that the world wants you to pay attention to and remember who you are. So having a daily meditation practice, even if you just start with 5 minutes a day, and then reviewing your vision of where you actually want to go, like your true wants, not what society wants you to go, is very important. And that's a hard part too, is letting go of what society expects of you. That was one of the hardest things for me to let go, because I was like first generation, going to college. I had a white collar job. Like, it, I was doing everything perfectly, and it was hard to, I felt like I was going to disappoint a lot of people. Right. But I had to let that go and realize my life isn't about making sure other people aren't disappointed. It's about building this impact that I have this calling for. And so you have to just let go of disappointing other people, or what other people think about what you're going to do, because the only people that really matter are the people that you're trying to actually help. And if you are still stuck worrying about what other people are thinking about you and judging you for, then you're not able to help the people that are waiting for you.
What was the most difficult part of your own identity shift from your corporate self to your entrepreneurial self?
I think one of the most difficult things that I had to learn was the money mindset, and realizing that despite my financial success, I had a scarcity mindset, and I was afraid to spend money. I was also afraid to ask for money. I was afraid to just price my programs at a price that would be sustainable for me to have a living. And at first I had coaches that said, just do it. And I was doing it. I was kind of forcing myself, but I just felt a lot of incongruence a lot of times, until finally I picked up a book about money mindset and realizing that, you know, a lot of the things in our head is very similar, holding us back, that, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, that you need to save money. The idea of actually spending money on yourself as an investment versus being selfish. So really being able to reframe my mind around money as a tool instead of something that is holding me back was one of the most positive things I learned, and has enabled me to keep going even when it seemed crazy.
Well, Ms. Alisa, based on your work, what is the single biggest indicator that someone has successfully made the internal shift and is truly ready to take the external leap?
I would say I can see when people make the shift, because their vibe just changes. It just suddenly seems like they go from 0 to 100. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do that, or I don't know what I need to do. But as soon as they make the shift, you just suddenly know exactly what you need to do, and you start taking action. You almost don't even need me to tell you what the action is, because you have now embodied the identity of someone who takes action. And so you figure it out, because you've asked your future self guide, and you've connected with them. And so they innately know, oh, of course, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I don't know why I was worrying about all that stuff before. So you can kind of see that they've stopped resisting, and they start figuring out what is the next step on their own.
Miss Alisa, before we wrap up our discussion for today, I'm inviting you to please do listen to my other podcast, People, My Other Podcast, because my abstract essay is already in 5th season, abstract poetry in 2nd season, and my book 101 review in 5th season too, comedy 101 in 2nd season, and my food 101 in 5th season as well, geography 101 in 4th season, and my Baby Podcast Law 101 and Mental Health 101, Love Letters in 3rd season, and Movie 101 Review and Music 101 in 4th season, and Science 101 and Sex 101 in its 1st season. Please listen to them wherever you listen your podcast. So, Miss Alisa, for someone listening or watching right now who feels the tug to leave corporate but it's terrified, what is your one message of encouragement about the power they already hold with their own mind?
Yes, my one message of encouragement is you, like you said, you have the power of your own mind. Take the time to just go internally, meditate, connect with a version of you that what you want your day-to-day to be. And just remember to embody that every day. I just had a session with someone earlier who did a visualization, and he said he felt so much lighter and happier because he was visualizing his day after he's succeeded. And you have access to that feeling whenever you want. You just have to go into your visualization and know that you're on the path to that feeling. So that's what I would suggest.
Ms. Alisa Sharp, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and wisdom to the world. So can you please invite our listeners to support your advocacy, your business, or whatever projects that you're doing right now?
Yeah. If you are interested in working with me, I have the Freedom Creators Club if you want to leave corporate and build your coaching offer. If you want to do that in Costa Rica, I'm having a 7-day retreat next June, where we'll be in the mountains of Costa Rica connecting to our future self and leaving with an offer that you can market after.
Yes, people, let's support Miss Alisa Sharp, because if you support her, for sure, more and more empowering business to come. So, Miss Alisa, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
More to come, people. See you soon.